Amen, amen, amen. I want you to notice 2 Timothy chapter 4 and look please at verse 6. Paul is near the end of his life, most productive life, individual who was so greatly used of the Lord, planted churches throughout the known world from Antioch all the way to Europe, and was used to write most of the New Testament and so much more. But he comes down to the end of life's journey. Look at verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And after those statements, Paul makes a request of Timothy. Paul is a man who was used to win Timothy, to train Timothy. He refers to Timothy as his son in the faith. And so he requests that Timothy would come and be with him at this most critical time. Notice what he said in verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. And then notice what he said. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. In verse 9, Paul said to Timothy, do thy diligence to come unto me shortly, or to come shortly unto me. But in verse 11, he said, only Luke is with me. At this time, faithful Luke, the beloved physician, only Luke is with me. And he says, take Mark, take Mark. Well, Mark is referred to as John Mark, John whose surname was Mark in Acts 15, verse 37. And in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, Mark was the nephew to Barnabas, who was Paul's companion in ministry. The second gospel in your Bible is named for Mark and him being the human author. So he said, take Mark and bring him with thee. Now watch this, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. I ask you to think for a little bit this evening, profitable for the ministry. Mark at this time was profitable for the ministry. It wasn't always so, but at this time Paul says, please bring Mark. He's profitable for the ministry. Listen, dear Christian, let me ask you to consider this. Are you profitable for the ministry? Or perhaps could you be more profitable? I want you to consider that tonight. Profitable for the ministry. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, I thank you for the safety you've granted us this day. I thank you for the comfort of this auditorium in these conditions. I thank you for the fellowship of the brethren and the good participation we have on the live stream. I look forward to the time very soon when we will once again assemble and we might worship and fellowship. But Father, I ask you to bless this endeavor tonight. My Father, as I come before you in prayer, I ask you please to give grace to the many, many individuals of our congregation, our assembly, our membership, who are suffering sickness and infirmity, and those in our community that have requested prayer. I ask you to help and give grace to each one and healing as you know is best. I ask you to help us, my Father, and help us all. Those of us that know you, help us to be profitable for your work. We ask in our Savior's name, amen and amen. Notice again, verse 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Verse 11, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Think about that, profitable for the ministry. Now, three things about Mark in this passage. At the time of 2 Timothy chapter 4, according to what Paul said, Mark was reliable. Paul knew that he could depend upon Mark. He knew that Mark would be responsible. He had something in mind that he needed Mark to do, and he knew that he could trust Mark and call upon Mark, and that Mark would do what he needed him to do. My theme for this year, as you know, is steadfast. 1 Corinthians 15:58 Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so, at this time, 2 Timothy chapter 4, Mark was steadfast, and Paul called upon him, and Paul referred to him as being profitable for the ministry. And I say to you again, believer, let us be profitable for the ministry. I want to ask you this before I continue. Is the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior? Do you have an assurance from the Scriptures about eternity? If you're uncertain about that, then you really can't be profitable for the Lord's ministry unless you know Him. And I just want to say to you once again, there's no genuine Bible Christianity without conversion. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Is Jesus your Savior tonight? If you're uncertain about that, won't you come to Him and trust Him as your Savior? Won't you acknowledge yourself a sinner, admit yourself a sinner, acknowledge the resurrection of our Lord, and then call upon Him and trust Him as your Savior? Won't you do that? You say, that's my testimony. Well, I ask you to consider this. You're saved, and according to the Scriptures, you have an assurance of eternity. There's nothing better than that. I'm grateful for that. I rejoice with you. It's so good to know that I belong in the family of God. It's so good to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, my advocate, my high priest. And it's so good to know that I have the gift of eternal life. And I trust that's your testimony as well. You say, so I know that. I've received the Lord Jesus and I have the gift of eternal life. I'm going to heaven. According to 1 Peter, I have reservation in heaven. A reservation in heaven. Do you have a reservation in heaven? That's wonderful. But listen, you're not there yet. You're here. So why are you here? You're here to serve the Lord. You're here for a purpose. When I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I wanted to know about eternity. I wanted to have that assurance. And that's all I really considered. But I learned something. Not only did the Lord Jesus come to give eternal life, He also came to give abundant life. And if you know Him as Savior, you have purpose in this life. You have a part in His ministry. And you see, if you're here, if you're viewing tonight and you know the Lord Jesus, well, you have a ministry. You have a part in the ministry. It's my conviction that ministry comes through the local church. But you have a purpose. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. You're an ambassador, believer, for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the tangible representation of Him on the earth today. Now, given that, then all of us have some responsibility, some purpose, some part of the local ministry. All of us do. Pastor can't do it all. Deacons can't do it all. Sunday school teachers can't do it all. It has been said that in most churches, 10% of the membership do 90% of the work. Now, in our Bible-believing Baptist churches, I believe that the percentage would be far better than that, but we still could do better. And there's a place for every individual in the local church to serve. Not every position and not every ministry is front and center and noticed and gets a lot of accolades, but I want to tell you, before God, it's all so very important. Mark was reliable. Now listen, every pastor of every local church needs to serve with members, with believers who are reliable. Every pastor needs individuals to take a ministry and take a responsibility and say, this is my ministry. I'm a Sunday school teacher. That's my ministry. Preacher, you can be sure that I'll be there on time. I'll be early and I'll be prepared. It is my ministry. Make it your ministry. Amen. You say, I want to work in the bus ministry. All right. Whatever your part is, be faithful, be timely, be punctual, be wise in that matter. But you say, I'm going to work a bus route. All right. Pastor, you can depend upon me. I'll make the contacts. I'll visit the families. I'll be on the route. I'll be sure they get transportation. And I'll take care of them while they're at the church meeting. Many of them, this is new to them. I'll be with them and I'll take care of them so they don't get into trouble. I'm going to take part in this ministry, whatever it is. One of our men was out here this morning, and he has a snow blower, Harry Miller. Who has one of those in North Carolina? And he cleared off the sidewalks and a good part of the driveway. And most folks wouldn't know about that. And he just said, that's my responsibility. I'm going to take care of it. And Harry, I appreciate it. I'm so grateful. I didn't slip on the sidewalk and the sun is clearing it off even better. Things are looking up and I'm grateful for that. If your responsibility is cleaning the building, all right, you say, I am going to be faithful and you don't have to be concerned about it anymore. I'll do what I'm supposed to do. And I'm grateful for those individuals that do that. You know, if the building's clean, most people won't notice it. But they'd notice it. We'd all notice it if it were not clean. We're not able to have a meeting this evening, but the building was ready. It's clean and ready to go, and it's just a blessing. It is. And it demonstrates that we are serious about our stewardship of God's ministry. But here's the point. Mark was reliable. And whatever your role in the ministry is, make it your ministry. Make it your responsibility. I'm grateful for those precious ladies that work the nurseries and those individuals that work the junior church and the children's ministries. It's so very important that we provide for our families ministry for children. We want to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and we want to supplement the instruction they receive from their parents. Whatever your ministry is, Mark was reliable. Be reliable. Be responsible. Take your part and make it your ministry, and then be faithful. And you could say to the preacher or to the bus director or to whomever, the Sunday school superintendent, I will be there except providentially hindered or because of some physical infirmity. I will be there. And if I can't be there, I will certainly make arrangements for that. I'll let you know. But be responsible. Now let me, before I leave this, say, maybe today you know the Lord Jesus as Savior, but you're not a member of a good local Bible-believing church. Well, God has a plan for you concerning that. So seek His will and get involved. Be more than an attendee. Be more than a spectator. Get involved. You say, I'm a member of a good local Bible-believing church. You might say, I'm a member of the Northview Baptist Church. Amen. Have you found your place of ministry? Have you found the work God would have you to do within the local church? And you say, I am going to be responsible. I am going to be there. I'm a choir member. I will be at the choir practice 5 o'clock Sunday evening, not today, but normally. I will be in my place and I will do my part. Mark was reliable. Be reliable. But then my second point is Mark was restored. The story of John Mark, it's a lesson in restoration. Because as you likely know, John Mark was not always faithful. He was not always faithful. Now, I'm not going to take time to exposit all the passages, but in Acts chapter 13, the church in Antioch, the men prayed, and the Holy Spirit separated Paul and Barnabas for the missionary journey. And as they went on their missionary journey, they took Mark with them. It's found in Acts chapter 13, verse 1. It says, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the ministry or for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, verse 5, it says, when they were at Salamis, they preached the word in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And later he's identified as John, whose surname was Mark. It's John Mark. Barnabas had a nephew, John Mark, and he wanted to go on the mission field. And he went as the minister. Now that means that his work was probably menial work. We're not told exactly. But he was to care for his uncle Barnabas and for the missionary Saul, who later is called Paul. He was to care for them. Perhaps he was to do cleaning, or perhaps he was to do cooking, or perhaps he was to run interference in their meetings. Perhaps he was to build fire. I don't know. His work was menial work. But he said, I want to go to the mission field. Sounds so very adventuresome. I want to go on the mission field, and I want to see folks saved, and I want to see folks make a decision. And so he joins Saul and Barnabas, and you read it, immediately they ran into opposition, adversity, a man called Elymas the sorcerer, and he created trouble for them. And so immediately they ran into adversity. Listen, the ministry, the mission field, it is an adventure, But anything worthwhile has opposition, and there's adversity, and you're going to have to face it if you're going to serve the Lord. The only people that don't face any adversity are the people that don't do anything. But if you're going to do something, you're going to see some opposition. You're going to run into some things. So they ran into adversity. And then you read in Acts 13:13, Bible believer, that's an interesting reference, isn't it? Acts chapter 13, verse 13, and the Bible says this, "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." When they had adversity, John, Mark, he quit. He went home. He returned to Jerusalem. Well, he's introduced in Acts 12 in Jerusalem. His mother had a home, and the believers would assemble in the home. And so he was exposed to Peter. He's exposed to Barnabas and Paul. He's exposed to these men. That's the basis, really, for his writing the Gospel of Mark, humanly speaking. I know he's inspired by God. But he had that exposure, but he returned. Well, by the way, he was in Jerusalem when he's introduced, and he joins Saul and Barnabas. He goes to Antioch, and from Antioch he goes on the mission field, runs into adversity, and he went home to Jerusalem. What did he do? He went home to his mother. He quit! He quit! Now, that means that whatever his responsibilities were, Saul and Barnabas no longer had that service. Or they had to make other arrangements. Or they had to do something themselves. Now you say, well, they can do that. They're not above. You read Acts chapter 6. They're not above waiting on tables. But the fact is, when they're taking care of the ministry of John Mark in his absence, it takes them away from the things that they should be doing. So John Mark quit. He quit. But what's interesting is, by the time of 2 Timothy chapter 4, he is listed as someone who is profitable for the ministry. Please consider that. He was not profitable for the ministry in Acts chapter 13, but by the time of 2 Timothy chapter 4, he had been, may I say, steadfast. He had proven himself, and Paul says, take Mark. Bring Mark. He is profitable to me for the ministry. I need his help. There's something I need, and I know I can depend upon him. That's a story of restoration. Now, when you read Acts chapter 13, John Mark quit. And Acts chapter 13 and 14, Saul and Barnabas continued their first missionary journey. Then in chapter 15, they returned to Antioch. And in Antioch, they had a wonderful Bible conference, very important. But then later in the chapter, some days later, Paul and Barnabas determined to go on their second missionary journey. This is Acts 15, verse 36. It says, "Some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from Pamphylia, and went not with him to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another." Now think about that. They're ready for their second missionary journey, and Barnabas says, well, I'll get John Mark and we'll get on our way. And Paul says, hold it. I'm of the opinion that Paul would have said, he's a good guy, and I believe he's going to do well, but I just don't trust him. I'm just not sure. I don't want to go through what we went through before. And it created a contention between these two men who were greatly used of God, and it separated them. So here's my point. At one time, Paul refused even to bring John Mark on the missionary journey. He refused to include him on his second mission. He found John Mark to be unprofitable. But by the time of 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said he is profitable for me, for the ministry. And you see, over time, Mark had proven himself. Mark was restored. You're reading Galatians chapter 6 verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself lest thou also be tempted. Mark was restored. His story is a story of a man who failed, but then got things right and was restored and was used. And I hope that that's an encouragement to someone that might hear my voice this evening. Maybe you failed in some facet of Christian ministry or something very important, and you think, well, it's just over for me. No, there's restoration, and there's a work to be done, and the field is white for the harvest, but the laborers are few, and there's a place for you, my dear friend. It's a story of restoration. Now, in verse 11, Paul said, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now think about that. At one time he was unprofitable, and later he was profitable. Reminds me of the parable of the prodigal son. One son was disobedient, rebellious, wicked, but then he repented. But then the older son, who was religious, he didn't see himself as needing repentance. He was proud, and he was angry that his younger brother had been restored. Well, that parable is really for the Pharisees who saw themselves above publicans and sinners. But here's the point. You got one brother that was wrong and got right. There was one brother that wouldn't get right. The same thing is pictured right here, because in verse 11, Mark is profitable for the ministry. 2 Timothy 4:11, he's profitable for the ministry, but he wasn't profitable in Acts chapter 13, but now he's profitable. He has proven himself. He's restored. In verse 10, the Bible says this, Paul said this, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now there's a man that was faithful, but became unfaithful. May I say, he was profitable, but he became unprofitable. Demas is mentioned three times in the writings of the Apostle Paul. He's mentioned in Philemon, there's one chapter, verse 24, and there he's referred to as a fellow laborer. As Paul lists several individuals, he includes Demas, and he says, Demas, he's one of my fellow laborers. In other words, he's working with me. In other words, he's faithful. But then he's mentioned again in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, and it's really interesting about that. In Colossians chapter 4, Paul mentions the individuals who he's served with, those with whom he's associated, and he has something to say about every one of them. For example, Colossians chapter 4, verse 7, he says, Tychicus, who is a beloved brother and faithful minister. In verse 9, he says, Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. In verse 10, he says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner. In verse 12, he says, Epaphras, who is a servant of Christ. He comes down to verse 14. He says, Luke, the beloved physician. Now listen to this. Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. What does it say about Demas? Nothing. Luke, the beloved physician. Aristarchus, my fellow servant. Epaphras, a servant of Christ. Onesimus, faithful and beloved. Tychicus, who is a beloved brother, faithful minister. And Demas. He has nothing to say about Demas. And his omission speaks volumes. It appears that he knew something was not right in the heart of Demas. When we see an individual depart from the faith, may I say depart from the service of the faith, when we see an individual who quits, when we see an individual who does something very grievous, we see the commission of that disobedience, that sin, but it really begins in the heart much earlier. The Bible says in Proverbs 4, it says to guard your heart. And it's so important. But he mentioned Demas in chapter 4, verse 14, and then he mentions him one more time in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, or verse 10. He says, Demas hath forsaken me. Well, he did forsake Paul, but more than that, he forsook the Lord. And what's the problem? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. listen, no man can serve two masters. He'll love the one and hate the other. Double-minded man a double-minded man is unfaithful in all his ways. And Demas had a love for the world. A Christian, love not the world, neither things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And that's Demas. So you read here about John Mark. He was a man who was unprofitable, but became profitable. He was restored. He was restored to service. But you also read about a man that was faithful and became unfaithful. And there are lessons in that for all of us. If you know the Lord today, let's serve Him consistently, faithfully. Mark was reliable at 2 Timothy chapter 4, but he'd been restored because he wasn't reliable in Acts chapter 13. But then finally, number 3, Mark was reconciled. You say, well, he was restored. That's right, he was restored to service. But in the process, he was reconciled to the Lord. When he was disobedient, his fellowship with the Lord had certainly been hindered. Moreover, his fellowship with Paul. You consider this. Paul said, I don't want him to go with us. He was out of fellowship with Paul. And when he came back and he served and he proved himself, dear friends, he was restored. He was reconciled to Paul and Barnabas. Now, think about Paul and Barnabas, or Saul of Tarsus and Barnabas for just a moment. They're two different personalities, but they both serve God and they work well together. Paul is all business about the ministry. He's focused on the mission, and he doesn't want any distractions. He doesn't want anything that would take him away from that. He is focused on the mission. Did he disciple Timothy? Yes. Titus? Yes. Many others? Yes. But he's focused on the ministry. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, by the grace of God, 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Notice he said, I labored more abundantly. That's Paul. He's all about the mission. Now, Barnabas, on the other hand, he also is focused on the mission. But in Acts chapter 4, he's referred to as the son of consolation. He is one who offers consolation. He's a comforter. He's a consoler. And you see, Acts chapter 15, Saul and Barnabas plan their second missionary journey, and Barnabas says, I'll get my nephew and he'll come and he'll help us. Paul says, hold it right there. We're not going to do that. And the contention was so great between them that they went separate directions. Now, by the way, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. They went separate directions. Paul took Silas and Barnabas took John Mark, and they went separate directions. So actually, their ministry was multiplied, and they both went on missionary journeys in separate directions. But by the time of 2 Timothy chapter 4, Mark has been reconciled to the Lord, but he's also been reconciled to the Apostle Paul. That relationship, it has been restored, and Paul has complete confidence in John Mark. That's so very important. It is so very important. Mark was reconciled. And in verse 11, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. He is profitable for the ministry. And that's my message. Christian, are you profitable for the ministry? Do you assume your responsibility, be it something that is obvious and is seen by many, or something that's behind the scenes? Now, it's all clearly revealed to God, and it's all important to Him, but have you found, Christian, your place of ministry, your place of responsibility, and will you endeavor, what, to be steadfast? We've entered a new year. We're in the first day of the second month of 2026. We're about to observe our 34th anniversary, March 1. Our guest preacher is Brother R.B. Ouellette. But God has blessed this ministry for 34 years. I have many regrets. I have made many errors and many shortcomings. But I'm grateful that God is faithful and He has blessed this ministry for all these years. Let's make 2026 the best year possible by being obedient. I know that the blessings are of the Lord. I know that the victory is of the Lord. I know the Lord is the work, or the work is the Lord's work. But let us give Him the best that we can. Let us be profitable for the ministry. I've endeavored to be profitable, but you know what? I believe I can be more profitable. And that is my desire. That is my desire. Mark was, at the time of 2 Timothy 4, reliable. But Mark was restored because at one time he'd not been faithful. He was restored to a place of ministry. But then Mark was reconciled to God and to Paul and no doubt to others. Before I leave this evening, you can't really be profitable for the ministry unless you first belong to the family of God. You don't really have a genuine part in the ministry unless you're on board for the very reason that the Lord Jesus came. How can you serve the Lord Jesus? How can you be involved in evangelism and giving the gospel to others if you've not received it yourself? And I ask you again, has there been a time in your life, maybe you didn't mark down the date, but you remember there was a day, there was a time you heard the gospel, you understood the gospel, you believed the gospel, and you made a conscientious decision to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've been born again according to the Word of God. You are regenerated by the Holy Spirit, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, sealed by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall receive power, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Is that your testimony? If it is not, won't you trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Won't you believe on Him? Won't you call upon Him as your Savior? He said this, He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He'll receive you, John 6:37. Will you receive Him? Will you trust Him as Savior? If you're uncertain about that, get that settled from the Scriptures. Get that right. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Trust Him as your Savior. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Won't you trust Him as your Savior? Won't you be born again and have that assurance of all eternity and a purpose for the here and now? Christian, are you profitable for the ministry? Could you perhaps be more profitable? Dear Father in heaven, I thank You for this evening. I thank You that we have the means of live stream and recording. I thank You for the opportunity to conduct this meeting, though we're not wisely, safely able to get out and assemble. My Father, please bless this sermon this evening, and please bless and meet the needs of our family, our church family. And please, Father, give grace to those that are suffering sickness and infirmity. There are so many. Please help us to minister to them as we have opportunity. We thank and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening. Our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study this Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock, weather permitting, and I think that likely it will be. Thank you for your faithfulness. Make it a great evening. God bless you. You are dismissed.